Chapter 1.
Ah, Mr. Potter, back again, I see.
Huh? What?
Harry asked, as he tried to look around blindly. Something was on his head. It felt heavy, yet cloth-like.
He reached up and lifted the blindfold.
He froze at the sight before him. It looked like the Great Hall of Hogwarts, students seated at the long tables looking at him expectantly.
But he knew these students. A glance at the Gryffindor table showed no sign of Ron, but a young Hermione, Hagrid-like hair and all. Then he noticed the few students standing directly in front of him, Ron and Zabini to name two.
This was unusual, as the last thing he remembered was falling asleep in a Hogwarts bed having just defeated Voldemort 7 years in the future. Of course he had been dead an hour or two before that, but he was sure he got better.
Oh god, what happened? Harry mumbled. He dropped what he assumed was the sorting hat back over his eyes before raising it again to make sure he wasn't imagining it all.
Mr. Potter, if we could continue, came the same voice. Sorting hat?
Indeed. I realized that it must be rather boring to go through it all again, but we shouldn't keep everyone waiting. Did I just dream the last 7 years of my life?
Harry hissed angrily under the hat. Of course not.
It rarely happens, but you seem to have been given the opportunity to have a second go at making things right. Rowena Ravenclaw and Arthur Dunwall are the only two I know of personally. I advise you not to waste it.
I've never heard of someone having a third chance, the hat warned. So, I'm not about to wake up and find that Tonks and Remus are dead?
Lord, no. The hat laughed in his head. In fact, if you use what you know, then you stand a good chance of saving even young Mr. Diggory over there.
Harry quickly popped the brim of the hat up and suddenly felt a rush of hope and joy as he saw the former/future Hogwarts champion staring back at him like everyone else.
It can't hear us, right? Did you ever hear me talking to any of the other students I sorted whilst you were here?
I had a rather long discussion with your young friend, Miss Granger, on why she would do better in Ravenclaw than Gryffindor.
Then why didn't you put her there?
She's always been the smartest.
The same reason I put you in Gryffindor, the hat returned smugly.
Because she asked you to, Harry sighed.
Indeed. So, Mr. Potter, would you care to trust my judgment this time round and enter the House of Slytherin? After all, you are the rightful Lord of Slytherin.
I am. By right of conquest, in this timeline you have defeated that young upstart, Riddle, once. In your last timeline, you did so nearly once a year. Magic will recognize you as such. Speaking for myself and Hogwarts, we definitely acknowledge your lordship.
Wait, I'm only 11 in this timeline and only barely, aren't I too young?
Only by mortal human standards, and magic does not care one whit what mortal humans think.
Neither do we for that matter, but we digress. Shall you enter the Pit of Snakes?
Would it really make that much of a difference?
Mr. Potter,
may I call you Harry?
Sure.
I could help you sit here and go through the pros and cons of Slytherin versus Gryffindor. Instead, I shall give you the one piece of information that will be of most importance to you. Slytherins have their own private rooms.
Sold.
Slytherin, boomed the hat into the Great Hall. Harry grinned and took off the hat and headed for the House of Green and Silver as his own uniform adopted the trim. As he sat down to watch the rest of the sorting, he noticed the room was absolutely silent and everybody was staring at him in shock.
What?
Headmaster, this is outrageous, Snape said as he stood angrily.
I must confess, I am at a loss, Severus, Dumbledore said quietly.
Potter's just a half-blood. He doesn't belong in our great house, came the snotty voice of an 11-year-old Draco Malfoy.
Harry was now beginning to remember why he fought so hard last time against Slytherin. He looked at the hat only to see it chuckling on its stool.
I demand he be resorted, Snape said loudly, causing a stir amongst the students and professors.
Here, here,
came a chorus of agreement from around the room, but most notably from his new fellow Slytherins.
Harry had had enough. He wasn't going to be the meek little boy like last time. He had all the knowledge he needed. He knew their mistakes, even if they hadn't made them yet, but he also knew their histories.
Harry shouted, causing the hall to fall silent and return its attention to him. So you think that because I am a half-blood, I don't belong in Slytherin, right?
Exactly. You are a disgrace to the wizarding world, Malfoy snarled.
So that would mean that Professor Snape should be removed from Slytherin as well. He's a half-blood after all.
There was a rush of wind caused by every Slytherin head snapping to the staff table and Professor Snape.
The look of betrayal was present on most, but not all, students in his house.
Potter, Snape screamed, cease your lies.
What lies? Your mom was a witch, Eileen Prince. Your dad was a muggle, which I guess makes you even more of a half-blood than me.
It's in the school records. Dumbledore can confirm it, and so can probably most of the older professors.
Harry shrugged with a grin. He was definitely enjoying himself.
Why are you insolent?
Professor Snape, McGonagall snapped angrily, halting the greasy wizard's descent towards the boy who lived.
Snape turned to Dumbledore.
Aren't you going to do something about this? He demanded.
Albus Dumbledore was truly at a loss.
Never in all his decades at the school, even as a pupil, had the sorting been interrupted. I'm afraid I don't see what I can do. Potter is clearly spreading lies and has no place in the noble house of Slytherin. Albus' head snapped round to glare at Snape. I believe it would be in everyone's interest to let the matter drop.